And we're live for a new episode of the Electric Podcast. I'm Fred Lambert, your host, and I'm joined by Seth Winchaum. How are you doing this week, Seth?
I'm good, Fred.
All right. Hope you're ready because we have a lot to talk about this week. And like it's been the case in the last few weeks, we're going to talk about just the stock price a little bit because it's always on a lot of people's mind. I know you're a Tesla investor, and I'm a Tesla investor, and a lot of our listeners are Tesla investors. But we're going to talk about it this week in the context of the new capital raise that Tesla announced just yesterday. That was partly a surprise. I mean, it depends on how you look at it. It's a surprise because Elon just 2 weeks ago during their earnings said that it wasn't a good idea to raise capital right now. Of course, a lot of things changed. Well, a lot of things. The stock price changed a lot in the last few weeks. It surged. I think it was around what $500 when the earnings happened, and then it surged over $700 pretty quick. So it's clearly an opportunistic way to get capital. The stock price is higher, so they can get more capital with less dilution. And even though Elon was like, "We don't need market," like that's a weird part about it, because Elon was clearly, "We don't need more cash. We spend cash as fast as we can right now, as we can efficiently. So if we add more cash and we decide to spend more cash, we would just do it inefficiently." So that was his logic, which of course is like very good logic. But then 2 weeks later, he's like, "No, let's get some more money." However, if you remember, we've been following Tesla for a long time, and Tesla loves to raise money. Just last year, they did like twice, and like they do it every year, basically. But what's fun with Tesla is like every time they went to market, they had a good reason for it. Normally they were like, all right, like back in 2016, they went to market and they were like, yeah, we just got a ton of reservation from the Model 3 and we need more cash to accelerate the production and increase the volume. All right, investors are like, great reason. We're going to take the dilution, take the cash, build more Model 3. We love it. Before that, it was Gigafactory 1, I mean, like, let's get some money, Gigafactory 1, then let's get some money for Solar City and the acquisition and the solar roof production and all that. Like, there was always a good reason for it. This time, the reason that Tesla gave is we intend to use the net proceeds from this common stock offering to further strengthen our balance sheet, as well as for general corporate purposes. Yeah. What do you make of that?
So either that's BS or the earnings call was BS, where they say they don't need money to strengthen their, I mean, I guess it's so cheap right now that they're like, okay, well, let's pat ourselves a little bit more. I mean, I guess we could kind of, that could kind of make sense. We've also heard, Elon was tweeting about the Texas Gigafactory, to build the Cybertruck.
Here's the thing with that, though. I think they have to disclose it if it's for that. If they plan to raise money for that, I mean, technically you could go with general corporate purposes, but I mean, that's a stretch. I think I feel like it's a stretch.
Yeah, but they've been known to stretch. So
fair enough.
Maybe, I don't know. Like, what else could they need money for?
Like, all right. I think they might be very honest about it, and like strengthening their balance sheet, it might be exactly it. Even though they already have a pretty good balance sheet, especially with the $6.3 billion that they had in cash at the end of last quarter. That's a lot of cash, especially for Tesla. Why would you want to add $2 billion to that, especially if you're cash flow positive? I think the first quarter might be hard on them.
Yes. And
they won't, that $2 billion would compensate for it.
Right. So I didn't want to say it yet, but I think Q1 is going to be really bad. Mm-hmm. I think in the US, you know, they had like that rush at the end of the year. Europe, same deal. And then China, and then, with the virus.
And that's exactly it. I think China, they were counting on China for Q1. And then the whole coronavirus thing was a bigger deal than probably they expected, most people expected. And then it's going to affect sales a lot more. And they could, since they were counting on that as being like the main driver for the quarter, maybe they're going to get a very bad quarter, and the $2 billion is going to help them pad that. I mean, they're going to probably like be cash flow negative on operation, but cash flow positive with capital raise. So That might be the logic here.
Sadly, I think you're probably right on that. I think also, you know, they don't know what a couple quarters are going to be like, you know, in front of us. So, you know, padding that balance sheet might be nice. They, you know, they've always been living quarter to quarter. So maybe having a few months or a few quarters of cash on hand, maybe makes them feel a little bit better about the world. Mm-hmm.
And then if we relate that to the stock and stock price and investment opportunity, like last podcast, you stated that you believe that there might be a better buying opportunity coming up later this quarter or early next quarter. I wasn't sure about that. Like I said, I haven't sold, or at least I haven't sold as much as you, because I'm less certain about that. Now with this, I think it's giving you making you a little bit more right, but I'm still concerned about, like, if someone would be to sell now in order to have a better buying opportunity in the near future. I'm still concerned with the second big news that we reported on this week, which is that Tesla is building a pilot battery cell manufacturing line in Fremont, which I think plays into the upcoming April announcement, Battery Investor Day, or whatever they're going to call it. We're going to talk more about that later. But I think that's going to be such a big deal too. And depending on the timing on that, depending on when, because I mean, it's the timing looks like it's going to be April, but I think news is going to leak because it's such a big project that they're working on, I think. That I think news is going to have to leak a little bit before that. Just like we leaked this week from a bunch of job listing, we figured out that Tesla is building a pilot production line for battery cells in Fremont. So they are making their own battery manufacturing equipment, building their own battery manufacturing cell to test it in Fremont. And then they're going to, we assume, replicate that on a larger scale in another facility. So that's a big deal because it's Tesla entering a brand new product line. They haven't made battery cells before. They made battery modules, they made battery pack, but no battery cells. So now it would be a full vertical integration from Tesla. They would produce everything down to the cell, up to motors, assembly, everything. It's a big deal. And if they do it on the scale that Elon has been talking about, which that last earnings, what he said, a couple thousand gigawatt hour of production per year, he said.
Right.
So, I mean, they didn't say that they could do that themselves, but I said that's what they need, and they need a path to achieve that. And I think a big part of that path is going to be Tesla producing their own cell at a large scale. Of course, that $2 billion could also be useful for that. You can make yourself a nice battery factory with $2 billion.
Right. And, you know, I think I wonder if they can skirt disclosing specifically what that's for, on the grounds that it's a strategic, you know, they have to keep it quiet. Certainly they could argue that. They're like,
well, if you want to go like into the weeds of the details and everything, could you not just use the $2 billion that they already have on their balance sheet to invest in whatever they want, and then use that new $2 billion to pad their balance sheet that just went down because they dedicated some capital expenditure right to that project from their existing? Because, I mean, that $6.3 billion, it's from last quarter. That was a month and a half ago. So, yeah, there's some room to play with.
So we know battery day is in April at some point, probably 420 or something. But do we know when Tesla announces Q1? It's got to be around the same time, right?
Yeah, it's going to be really, really close to it. So, but there's two things. So when we come back to buying opportunity and everything, if Tesla stock goes down, there's two opportunities. There's a hurting in themselves, which they're going to be later in the month of April. So, excuse me, probably after the battery day, investor day, because like you said, if it could be whenever in April, but 420 might make sense. Elon has been joking about that, and he's known to like to push the joke all the way to reality. So I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. And then I think the earnings would be normally it's the last week of the next month or the first week of the second month of the new quarter. So either of those. So it's probably going to be after that. Either the Tesla disclosed the deliveries and production numbers the first week after the end of the quarter. So that would likely be before that Battery Investor Day. Speaking of the Battery Investor Day, Elon announced this week a Tesla April company talk. And now there's been some debate about whether that's going to replace the Battery Investor Day or that's completely different things, because he said that that's going to be held at Gigafactory New York. And they're going to talk about the solar glass and other product there too. And they're going to be customer and media tour, which sounds great.
Are we going to that?
I would like to. I mean, I should be back in Montreal. Buffalo is not that big of a drive for me from Montreal. I could drive one of my Tesla a little bit, which I haven't driven. I would have not driven in months at that time. So a little road trip. We can meet up there. How long is it from New York to Buffalo?
It's surprisingly far. I think it's like 5 hours somehow. Like
it's 6 hours from Montreal, so you have no excuse.
Okay.
If fine. I'm going, you're going.
All right.
So yeah, but we're still, people are a little bit confused about it. I did a poll on Electrek about whether this, what is this Tesla April corporate talk? Is it the new, what we knew until then at the Battery and Powertrain Investor Day, which was supposed to happen in April? Or is it an all new Tesla event? Or is it something else entirely? So 45% of people only think that it was, that it's the new Battery and Powertrain Investor Day. Majority of people think it's something else. So I'm surprised by that. It would be weird for Tesla to have like two different company talk in April. So I don't know. I think it replaced the Powertrain and Battery Day. They're just going to do it in New York to emphasize the whole solar glass, solar roof, and all the other efforts at the Gigafactory, New York, which also April coincide with a deadline for Tesla to achieve a milestone in hiring in New York. So I think Tesla is pushing hard to achieve that milestone and they want to announce that and everything. So that's going to play a factor in it. But I think it makes more sense that they combine everything there. Maybe if they have room in the New York factory, maybe they want to produce some battery cells there.
Yeah, that's a good point. I was thinking that same thing. There's plenty of room. My understanding is that recently it's been more toward capacity, but you know, in the last couple of years, there has been a lot of like just people doing nothing there. So it sounds like they've been spun up, and maybe that's another reason to have an event there to kind of show off the place now that it's running at capacity or near capacity. But again, like you said, there could be a battery line there as well.
And other interesting thing too is that if they're going to discuss, discuss the solar glass there, we should have an update on the production capacity there. If you remember, Elon was aiming last year for 1,000 roofs per week. We doubt that it's happening unless Tesla is building like a ton of inventory. Because we've heard of just a few hundred solar roof installations so far, like cumulatively, so not per week. So it'd be quite far from that in terms of installation. So if the production is there, Tesla is actually taking a lot of volume. But we doubt that's happening. So a nice update on that would be appreciated at that, what is now known as the Tesla April company talk. Oh, yeah, the same thing that Elon announced that earlier this week. He also announced that Tesla is planning to expand solar roof installation in Europe and China. He just said that they're planning to announce the timing for it. So we don't know when that's going to be. It still could be like a year or two away, but they're going to announce soon when that's going to happen. So, I mean, soon could be April too. They could announce that in April. That would make sense. That would be a big deal because Tesla has no solar installation outside of the U.S. When they acquire SolarCity, SolarCity was just a U.S. company, and Tesla has been selling power walls and energy products in a bunch of other markets, so it would make sense for them to also expand to solar. But since they go in and out in terms of products, but the installation is not the same thing, and of course, installation is a big part of the entire solar power ecosystem. But with And there's a bunch also of high competition installers in all markets. So that's also a concern. However, if Tesla enters a new market with the solar roof product especially, then it has a big product differentiation, and then it's probably easier for Tesla to enter the market, especially if they already have the brand recognition from not just the Powerwall, but on the electric vehicle side too. So that's going to be, I think, an important part of Tesla's growth in the near future. Speaking of Europe, Gigafactory Europe, Gigafactory Berlin, Tesla started the deforestation process at the site near Berlin, which is good news because it means that they cleared a lot of the environmental hurdles that they had to overcome with the site. They are going to cut down a lot of trees. That was causing a lot of issue with the environmental groups there. There was protest. It was affecting a bat population there, so they had to move the bats, and a lot of things was going on. But they needed to start the deforestation process by February in order to be on schedule for construction and start of production in July of next year. So apparently they are on schedule, but they haven't have the authorization for the actual construction of the plant. They had, but they're starting the deforestation either way. So that's kind of a risk for Tesla. They assume that they're going to have the authorization negotiation for sure, because now they're already investing in deforestation, which is, a decent expense too. Unless they can, if they can get some good money out of those trees, probably can.
They're harvesting.
Yeah. But it's going to be a net loss, I think, because they also have to plant a ton of trees, three times as many trees as they cut. So it's going to be an expense either way. I think. I'm not an expert in that. All right. Another Tesla news. Tesla is starting to add third-party charging station to its in-car navigation system, at least in Europe for now. We assume it's going to go somewhere else too, but for now it's in Europe only. So it's a departure from Tesla that in the navigation system, even though Tesla owners can access third-party service station, Tesla would direct them normally to their own supercharger and destination charger. If you enter a destination in your in-car navigation system and you don't have enough charge to get there, Tesla's going to route you to a supercharger station, not a third-party station. And of course, it makes sense for the most part, because you're going to have probably a better experience at the Tesla supercharger than at any other third-party. But now Tesla is opening up those third parties to also be featured there and be part of the routing system if it makes more sense to stop there than a supercharger station. And of course, this makes more sense in Europe, because for the Model 3, at least, they already have a CCS charge port, and those stations are going to be CCS connectors. And even now for Model S and X, they have the adapters and everything. So if they have that, then it's an easy experience for them too. I could see also this working in the US now. It wouldn't make much sense right now, because Tesla has its own proprietary connector. But if you remember, I said just a few weeks ago, the EVgo thing that happened, where EVgo started adding Tesla's own connectors to their station, then now it would make sense for Tesla to add them to their navigation system. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, if you own a CHAdeMO to Tesla adapter, you could, mm-hmm. It would be nice if there was a drop down where you could pick all the CHAdeMO stations around, Electrify America has a ton of good ones. And Electrify America does pretty good on plug share ratings compared to the rest of the industry. EVgo's up there. I did talk to Electrify America last week at the at both events, actually. But the one in Texas, we talked about how, they would theoretically have a Tesla port, and they said, well, we're in talks with everybody, and they gave me the whole, we can't really say anything. But the way that EVgo did it was that they basically took a CHAdeMO adapter and they put it, inside the wire. They basically just hacked one of Tesla's adapters, and it's connected to the cable. So theoretically Electrify America could do that too, but
EVgo did it with the authorization of Tesla. They got the green light from Tesla and everything.
But I mean, Tesla didn't do any work. They just said, mm-hmm. take one of these adapters and make it work and you're fine. So that makes sense. Like if you have a Tesla adapter, I mean, it also makes sense. Like why not just integrate PlugShare in there for destination charging? Like there should be you need a destination charger, like a tab or something, like find all the places in this area with destination chargers. There's a lot they could do there because, obviously there's a lot of Tesla destination chargers, but there's a whole ton more level two stuff for, all makes and models. And it would be kind of nice to know like, hey, I'm staying at a hotel in Ohio in this general area, like which hotels have a level two charger that would be beneficial to have. Obviously you can take out your phone and find it on PlugShare, but it would be nice to have on the big screen as you're driving. So I don't know, it makes sense. I don't know why they wouldn't do it. I'm sure PlugShare would be honored to share their information. I think it would be nice for everybody.
But I think PlugShare, that's part of their business model. Like they sell you the information. That's what the owners in Europe mentioned, that it doesn't look like Tesla is using an existing database. They might be working directly with a few third-party network to get their data directly from them, because it's not a blanket of all third-party charging station like PlugShare is. It's just specific ones. So maybe like Tesla, for example, wouldn't want to show like the Hyonity station in Europe that, if you don't have a deal, if the automaker doesn't have a deal for your car on the network or a subscription program, it's a lot more expensive. So,
Tesla wouldn't want to. They could also verify them themselves. Like Tesla could go out and say, all right, this works well. It's got a, shopping center nearby. It's a good place to stop, safe, lighted, good energy. Like really, it's way over 50 kilowatts. Maybe they have a certified Tesla or certified third party charging network system or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so something to look forward to is how it develops, because it just started for Tesla in Europe, and we're gonna keep an eye on the project. In China, Tesla filed with the government to do a second vehicle in China. They were doing the equivalent of basically the standard Range Plus. Now they're going to do the long range Model 3 in the country, which for the long time Tesla followers, someone at the door here. sorry for that.
It's probably another e-bike.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is. The long range Model 3 was actually the first version of the Model 3 that Tesla produced. Long range all-wheel, rear-wheel drive.
Right.
And Tesla eventually discontinued the car and made the long-range battery pack only available on all-wheel drive powertrain, including the performance and non-performance ones. For now, Tesla is not doing any dual motor all-wheel drive system in China. Elon is even on the record saying that they don't want to do a higher-end car in Gigafactory Shanghai. They just want to do the lower-end version of the cars. So
And I actually took that to mean that the long-range one wouldn't be coming. So it kind of surprised to see a long range version over there in China.
Sorry, it is a delivery and I need to open the garage door, but someone's gonna do it. Thank you. Did you ask me a question or something?
Initially, when they announced the China Gigafactory, they said that they were only gonna have the base model, Model 3 built there. And then all the higher end ones were going to come from the U.S. I kind of considered the long range one to be a higher end model, maybe because I have one. But
yeah.
I don't know what the exact phrasing was, but it's kind of surprising that they're building the long range one. It also means that the China cell supplier that they're using pretty quickly ramped up a long range battery pack. Mm.
Well, enough cell to do a long-range battery pack at least, because the standard Range Plus indeed will require fewer cells per car than the long-range one. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't have the price yet for it. Like, it's certainly going to be cheaper than the two dual motor version than Tesla produces in the U.S. So Elon's comment remained true. It's just now that they are not producing at least rear-wheel drive in the U.S. I really like that version of the car and make it made a lot of sense. I mean, not everyone needs all-wheel drive, but people want more range. That's the option for it. Like it, it's a good middle ground. It's cheaper. It's more efficient too, surprisingly. I know that for the Model S, Tesla was able to achieve better efficiency with the dual motor version and the rear wheel drive version, but not for Model 3. So there was a lot of advantages to it, but Tesla decided to just simplify its powertrain offering in the, well, that actually plays into it because it did simplify the powertrain offering in the US by, if you want a long range wheel drive, it will always be made with a dual motor powertrain. If you want a standard range, it's made with a rear wheel drive. In China, it's going to be the same thing. They're only going to do rear-wheel drive, so there's less complexity if you just have one motor option in each place and one two-batch pack option. So, but we'll see about the pricing. In terms of the production there, some production number came out. In January, Tesla produced 2,625 cars at Gigafactory Shanghai. So that's the first month of the year. And that's the first full month of production because Tesla started production in December. So in the first full month of production, they produced close to 3,000 cars, which is impressive in my opinion, especially if since in January of last year, a year before that, there was literally nothing there. It was literally like it was a field. I think there was some like they were growing melons or something there, watermelons, I don't know. But now a year later, it's producing 3,000 cars in a month, and I think it would have ramped up in February. They probably would have produced more cars, but now with the shutdown that happened the first week due to coronavirus and everything, we'll wait for the numbers. But I'm not sure that Tesla can beat the January numbers because otherwise, it could have produced like 9,000 vehicles easily in the quarter, and that would have been a big boost to Tesla sales. But now we're gonna have to wait and see. Yep. All right, now in the less good Tesla news, we learned earlier this week that Tesla started to officially disable supercharging on all salvage vehicles. So a tipster sent us a Tesla internal memo that they sent to their service that clarify basically their what they call their unsupported vehicle policy. And salvage vehicles are, of course, included in those unsupported vehicles policy. And now in that policy, they clearly state they had a few lines about supercharging, and they said supercharging or even fast charging through third-party chargers of a salvage title vehicle is permanently disabled. And once a vehicle has been declared salvage, it's always declared salvage, so it's always on the unsupported vehicle policy, so there's no reverting it. Once you get it, the vehicle is salvaged, there's no supercharging.
No going back.
No going back. Even though Tesla has an inspection, a salvage vehicle expansion program, so you can pay Tesla to inspect your vehicle, make sure that everything is in order to get some of the service that they support under the salvage vehicle, but no supercharging, even if you pass this inspection. So it's pretty drastic approach. Tesla gave its reason to be safety, of course. They say that they don't know, they can consider it unsafe. But again, they're inspecting it. And even if they're inspecting it, they apparently cannot determine if it's safe or not. If the high voltage system is safe or not, which is a bit surprising to me.
Yeah, I wonder if this is like an insurance-driven decision where, obviously Tesla's insured, mm-hmm. And their superchargers are insured, and the cars, they're insured against getting sued for a car blowing up or whatever. I wonder if they said, the lawyers were like, well, there's a, X premium if you guys allow charging of cars that have been salvaged. And Tesla's like, we don't want to do that. So we don't want to pay that. And we're not going to do that.
Yeah, that's probably it. My only problem with it is that the problem is like a lot of vehicles are considered salvage and they're not that damaged. I mean, right. I might be considered like if you talk to a guy like what's his name? Rich Rebuilds,
right?
Who goes like deep in the weeds and gets some salvage car that are like they're barely any car left. I mean, they've been like extremely damaged. Like if you go to this stream, like, there might be some issues, and he had some weird issues with his car too. Like that. To a degree, I can understand, but I also know a lot of people that buy a salvage car that have been declared salvage by the insurance, and it's some body work that's just too expensive to do. So they consider the car are the total, and then it's sold as a salvage car. So, but the old powertrain is not affected. The car can drive normally. It's just that Tesla does have some expensive body work to do, so a lot of insurers, they declare the car total if there's too much work to be done on it. So for those cars, I think there's a big market for people to put them back into shape and driving conditions and everything and looking good. It's a bummer that those people will not have access to supercharging, or a lot of people made a business out of it too, and they resell those car, and they do create another market for people to buy Tesla vehicles at a cheaper price, which is interesting too. But you just kill the value of those cars if you don't have access to supercharger.
Yeah, it becomes a much less valuable car. I mean, theoretically, fewer people will buy it. And, you know, Tesla's trying to save the world. It should try to keep its cars on the road, like even if they're salvaged. So
that's a good point.
It's a bummer.
Even if you're producing a car, even if it's electric, if you're producing a car that has a footprint, a carbon footprint, so if you don't have to reproduce one, you can just salvage one. It's great for the environment.
Yeah, and they're not losing any new sales. Like somebody who's in the market for a salvage car is probably not also in the market for a new one.
Yeah. Yeah, if that's their logic. The logic is like, oh, we're getting a new car sale for that. I mean, maybe, but like 1 in 10, maybe they actually would be willing to pay new car price if your salvage car price.
Right.
It's a different thing. All right. Another Tesla policy change, maybe not a policy change. They are showing it as a security update, but I don't know if you're aware of this phenomenon of Tesla owners who don't update their cars for a variety of different reasons, but there are out there some people that just refuse any update. They're resisting updates. For a bunch of reasons, whether it's from way back in the day from the autopilot nerfing thing when the Tesla started putting a lot of nag on autopilots and started restricting the type of roads you can drive on, started increasing the number of alerts on it, whatever it was, a lot of people decided, nope, I like my autopilot like it is right now, especially the autopilot from the hardware 1.0, which didn't evolve as much as the 2.0, so there wasn't as big of a deal to update or not. They're like, no, I don't like my nag. I want to stay like that. Then also the people that just don't like the new UI, which I understand less. I mean, there's no problem with Tesla's newer UI, and even if there is it worth not getting the new features because you don't want like the logos to be different and the menu settings or whatever? Anyway, the biggest one, I think, is the people that have a 85 kilowatt-hour battery pack, and Tesla had this update last year that we reported on a few times where they restricted the range and the charging capability of the pack, just basically like reduce the voltage of the cells in the pack, the max voltage. For the reason they gave was like for protecting the battery pack, very vague reason that put a lot of concern in the owner's mind. Like, why do you need to protect now? What's happening now that needs protection and everything? And of course it happened after a bunch of fires too. So like people are like linking those two together. And now Tesla was being sued for it too. Late last year, the owner banged together to make a class action against Tesla over the issue. So some of those owners, when we started reporting on it, it became more publicly known after the update started coming out and everything. A lot of people resisted that update so that they don't get that and they don't get their range affected. So those people too are part of that small group of owners that don't accept software update. Now Tesla is trying to force them to. Some of those owners receive an in-car message that says that, I'm quoting here, the Tesla network is undergoing an enhancement for increased security in order to maintain compatibility with and access to connected vehicle feature. This vehicle requires a software update to at least version 2019.40.2.3. If not updated prior to May 1st, 2020, this vehicle may no longer be able to receive over-the-air software update, access the Tesla mobile app and associated feature, utilize voice command, receive streaming media content, and other connectivity dependent feature may be impacted. So, I mean, that's some that's a lot of features there that would work, a lot of feature that most people, I think, daily use. So it would be a big deal.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of surprised they can't just push the update. Like, why can't they just say, here you go? Like, you wake up in the morning and you got the new update. You know, a 3 a.m. push or something.
Okay, like Tesla force them to get the update, you mean?
Yeah, why can't they just force the update through?
Yeah, I'm not sure. But some people reach out to me. Some people are very familiar with Tesla software. And they explain the reason behind it. Let's see here. So it's especially for the people that are on the MCU1, apparently. Tesla is not using the OpenVPN anymore. It's being replaced by something called Hermes. It's going to be a different system that's going to allow Tesla to... I'm not sure that person wants me to share their name for that, so I'm not going to do it, but it's a good source. They're going to be able to more easily access the vehicle for other things. Like, you know, when Tesla like unlock and locks specific features that they don't really need to do it through a software update, it's going to be easier for them to do that. It's going to apparently also really enhance security. So Tesla is not lying about that, but they're definitely using it to block, to force those people to update. I think it's going to work, in my opinion, just because of all everything that they will lose. All right. Also, Tesla recalled this week the Model X, about 15,000 Model X, the first batch that was produced up to mid-October 2016. So that's around the time that Tesla released the Autopilot 2.0 too. So there was a lot of changes around that time. It's regarding some corrosion around a bolt that's linked to the power steering system. So you could lose power steering if something happens regarding that bolt that can be affected also, especially in the colder weather situation. If you remember, it's the exact same thing that led to a voluntary recall of over 100,000 Model S 2 years ago. So I'm not sure where the Model X, the same thing is happening now 2 years later, if like it wasn't as urgent of a problem or anything like that, or maybe like Tesla had the retrofit program for the Model S since they were over 100,000 cars. It just took that long, and then they switched the Model S. I don't know for sure, but for some reason that came out this week. They issued a voluntary recall earlier this week. All right, on the Boring Company front, that just came out a few hours ago. We just posted that. The Boring Company broke through the first tunnel of the Las Vegas project, which is going to be the first fully deployed commercial Boring Company loop system. There's going to be two tunnels through the convention center, two 0.8 miles tunnels, and they just finished the first one. So we posted the video of them breaking through the first one, which is a big milestone for them. Now they just have to replicate that for the second one. They're going to have both tunnels, and then it's just about deploying the actual system to transport people in those tunnels. They confirmed also in the press release that the system is going to be Tesla vehicles. They didn't specify what Tesla all-electric vehicle is going to be, but it's going to be Tesla vehicle that is going to power the whole people mover inside that. So there's really two main options there. If you remember, you were there with me and back in 2018 when we went to LA for the launch, right?
Yeah, the tunnel.
Yeah, the tunnel.
Yep.
When they unveiled the Model X thing. No, you were there with me when we first got to the tunnel, but not with the Model X thing with the wheels that came out, right?
No.
Okay. So that was a weird thing where, like, for a long time, we thought Tesla's going to just, like, build a vehicle that's going to go inside those tunnels. But instead, in 2018, they unveiled this Model X with retractable tracking wheels, basically, that goes and facilitate going inside the tunnel and staying within the tunnels without hitting the side, basically. And they said, that's going to be it. That's going to be like the vehicles, going to be Tesla vehicles using those. And that's going to be transporting people. So that was surprising to people. But then they also opened the door to still making a dedicated people, Tesla vehicle, Audi vehicle, people mover that would go inside those tunnels. So it still might be either one of those two. We'll see, but it's going to definitely be a Tesla electric vehicle for that project.
Any chance it's a, you know, one-off type of vehicle that, you know, maybe like a big bus type of thing?
It wouldn't be a one-off. You would need like a bunch of them just for that project, and I would assume that they would also make them for like the other project, because the Boring Company is already lining up like a project in Maryland, a project in LA, a project in Chicago.
It just doesn't seem like a... Like, I'm trying to imagine CES next year where there's like 100,000 people waiting to get on those shuttle buses. And it doesn't seem like a Model X or a Model S or a Model 3 or Model anything is going to be able to handle that kind of quantity. So I'm just hoping that they don't try to throw a couple Model X's at this problem. I'm like kind of praying that they don't do that, but
I'm on board with you on there, because there's a lot of problem with using the Model X for that. What I want them to use is a custom made vehicle that can do both ways,
right?
Like reverse and forward. They don't have to turn around. That's going to be a big problem to turn around for each tunnel. It doesn't sound like a lot. Like, you can turn around the car pretty quick. That few seconds, it's a lot. It slows everything down. Also, getting in and out of a Model X it's not that hard, especially with the Falcon Wing doors and everything. But that's also like a few more seconds than just getting into like a bus or even like a metro subway system.
Mm-hmm.
You have to sit down, you have to go to the back seat or whatever. People, the first one to get in gets into the second row seat instead of getting the third row seat. And now, you have to move and everything. It's going to be a mess. So if Tesla make that vehicle that the Boring Company has showed a few times, that's like a pedestrian mover, basically. So you can just open sliding door and you can just get in and out, walk in and out, and you can have some standing place too. That's the way to go for sure. That reduce a lot of the entry and getting out time. And if it just the same thing each side, it can go reverse or forward. You just move the car on the platform a little bit, and then people get in, it's with the other side of the tunnel, and that's it. So I think that's the solution here, but it would require a brand new type of car, though you can probably build it on a Model X platform, in my opinion. All right, the Porsche. The first Taycan 4S deliveries happen in Germany this week. Kind of a big deal because I think the 4S is going to be where the volume is going to be. I mean, you tested the Turbo last week, Turbo S. They are great cars, super performing cars, competitive with the Model S in a lot of metrics except for efficiency maybe. Though there was something that came out this week that you posted, like the efficiency.
Yeah, Car and Driver did a test, and it turns out, in their particular test at 75 miles per hour around a loop, the Taycan Turbo S, which is the least efficient of the Taycans, turned out to be not. So it's rated at 192 miles, and I think they got 220 out of it, something like that. And what was more surprising to me is that the 300 plus mile Model S performance only got, I think, 230 or 240 miles. So it was pretty close to the Model S, which like makes no sense at all. Mm. And in the article, I kind of went through the scenarios which could have caused it. And, it probably comes down to the tires they used and the testing methods and whatever. But, as it relates to this story, that's a great car for, it's an expensive car. It's $100,000 still for us, but still a great
more
car.
It's more efficient.
Yeah, more efficient.
It's for the longer range version, the 93 kilowatt hour version, which is the same battery pack as the turbo version of the car. It's a little bit more expensive than 100,000, but at least you get the longest range that of any Taycan, because again, it's a little bit less powerful. It's more efficient. So I think that's where the volume is going to be for the Taycan.
And truth be told, it's still a fast car. And what most Porsche owners like about it is it looks like a Porsche. And it looks exactly, except for the wheels, like a Turbo S. So most Porsche owners will be happy with that.
Yeah, do you think that would be an interesting? We don't have the EPA numbers for that yet. The delivery, just started in Europe. But I'm curious to see that the EPA on the 79 kilowatt hour taken 4S, because the WLTP is 253 miles, 407 kilometers. It could get close to the Turbo S EPA on the much smaller battery pack, I think, with smaller wheels.
I think so. I think the wheels are the big. I mean, that's Porsche thinks that the whole difference between the 4S and the Turbo S is the wheels being super inefficient. And those are monster wheels with huge calipers and all the other stuff.
Oh, they look good. They look good.
Yeah, they're nice wheels. Not super efficient, though.
Nope. Not at all. Jaguar, the I-Pace. I mean, I'm a fan of the I-Pace. I know I'm not, it's not a wildly accepted belief that it's a great car, but I do think it's a great car. Just all go, again, not that efficient, but still, you get over 200 miles of range on that thing, which is nice. And I just think it's a beautiful looking car. They're having some production, they're having some problem producing it though. If you remember, Jaguar actually working with a third party to assemble a car in Graz, Austria. And now they're having some battery cell supply problem with LG, apparently. They stopped production just for a week. It's not that big of a deal. But they didn't have any batteries to produce it that week, and they had to shut down production, which I think highlights a problem with battery supply in the EV industry that's directly affecting the number of cars you can get on the market right now. So something to keep in mind.
Yeah, and these are all LG, right? Like, all
yeah.
So LG seems to be having some delivery problems because we've heard that Mercedes is going to miss some of their targets, although
Audi too.
Audi, the Mercedes in particular refuted that, but you know, it was quite a good German magazine that posted it, and they didn't retract their story. So I think there's probably some truth there. So you know, this is one of those things where we say, you know, didn't you look at Tesla 10 years ago? And Tesla 10 years ago said, you know what, we got to own this battery supply because we can't deal with the fluctuating prices and the fluctuating supply. We need to own this. In fact, like, I think Tesla may be even going down the value chain a little bit more into like the whole mining operations. But as far as these companies, they're kind of just stuck with LG, or you know, they can go to Samsung or any of the other manufacturers. But there's a limited supply of batteries out there, and the battery companies can kind of play, you know, them off of each other and say, well, we don't have any more battery, but if you spend a little bit more, maybe you can get some more. So it's going to be kind of a rough ride for some of these guys,
especially LG. I felt like they probably overextended themselves. Yep. Like the LG Chem, that's the whole thing is batteries, like selling batteries. And you're like, oh, electric vehicles are coming, we're gonna get some money. And like, oh, Panasonic is making a killing with Tesla. Well, a killing, I mean, they're starting to make profits, but the revenue side, there's a lot of money to be made. So they just started signing contract after contract with every manufacturer out there, like large multi-billion contract. And they were like, oh, then we're gonna be able to produce those. We're gonna be able to produce those, but it looks like they're still catching up the production to what they actually promised to deliver. So I think, and I think that could be a bigger issue in the near future. Because it's the problem right now with relatively small volume vehicles like the e-tron, like the I-Pace, like the EQC. What happens when you have the ID3, when you have the all those like high volume vehicles that are supposed to come out in the next few years, the Mach-E and they're playing like 50,000 the first year of production. That's decent sized production. And then in 2022, you have like hundreds of thousands of cars production, the programs, like single programs with hundreds of thousands of cars coming. If they have problems now, are they able to ramp up in the next 2 years and everything? So, it's my main concern right now with the ramp up of electric vehicles. I want to see a stronger battery supply chain.
Yeah, and like Europe's trying to build their own cells. Most cells come out of Asia besides the Gigafactory. But I think Europe is trying to kind of be independent in the cell production. So they're trying to spin up a couple of their own factories. And obviously in the U.S., we should be doing the same. Although I don't think outside of Tesla, anybody's really... Nissan has that one factory that they spun out. And I do believe that GM
is working with LG directly.
With LG, right, on building a factory here. But anyway, it's a problem. Like, this is a problem Tesla saw 10 years ago or whatever, 5 years ago. And they said, look, we got to own this part of our technology stack. And they built the Gigafactory at great expense. And it looks like it's paying off at this point.
For sure. Hyundai has a few cool electric cars coming up. They have the Ionity that's been doing okay, and they have the Kona EV that's been doing well. And now they announced this week that they're working with Canoo to use their electric skateboard, like powertrain technology, to build new electric cars. If you don't remember Canoo basically spun out the Faraday Future. Bunch of executives there were like not happy with YT, the CEO and founder of the company, who's not CEO anymore of the company, but they weren't happy with him. And they were like, yeah, you know, you're too much trouble. Like, yeah, let's just, and the guy that started it, the CEO, do I have his name here? The German guy that came from BMW, if I'm correct. Don't have his name here, but he was basically in charge of raising money for Faraday Future. And YT didn't like the terms he was getting with some companies, and the guy just decided, I'll just start my own startup and use the capital I was trying to raise for Faraday Future. And he hired some of the top engineers at Faraday Future and everything. So like a lot of the best of Faraday Future ended up in Canoo, and they quickly turned around and managed to unveil a vehicle already and a lot of powertrain technology and impress Hyundai enough to convince them to use their powertrain in their future electric cars, though they are only talking about A and B segments, so smaller passenger cars. That's surprising to me because it's like major manufacturer like Hyundai decide not to own the most important part of their cars anymore. They're like, let's just hire a third party to do the most important part of the car. That's going to be, and like, let's not have an expertise in making electric car powertrains, which are going to take over the industry in the next few years.
Yeah.
It blows my mind.
And they also have the Ioniq. They've had that for a while. They just upgraded it. That's a low, I mean, it's not an AB segment, but it's not a expensive.
Not far from it either.
Right. Yeah. So very weird decision. I question what is so good about Canoo? Maybe Canoo's got some really cool technology. Or what is so bad about the Ioniq platform that they've already built and had around for years?
Yeah, the only good reason would be Canoo just surpass the entire market? They have an insane technology right now that's just so much more efficient and everything. I'm giving them a benefit of the doubt. It might be that, but I would be surprised if it's really the case. I'm sure it's good, but it's not it's not worth not developing your own expertise as a major automaker to have. To produce your own electric powertrains, because that's going to be the core of the industry going forward. So it blows my mind. But they're not alone there. I mean, Ford is they're working on their own technology for the Mach-E and for the F-150. But they're also going to use the Ford the Rivian platform. They're also going to use the Volkswagen MEB platform. Those are all moves that are like, why would you want to do that? But if you look at the history of the automotive industry, they've been in history of using decentralizing basically the supply chain and just having they are basically all supply chain companies. They are logistic companies that buy components from other companies and bring everything together into one car. So they assemble vehicles and they produce engines. Now the engines is out of the equation, and instead of let's focus on not all of them. Some of them are definitely focusing on it. If you look at Tesla, of course, but also some of the major ones like BMW, Mercedes and everything, they are focusing on the core technologies. For sure, they are building their own electric motors and everything. But those that are doing that and using other companies, it's surprising. Their decision making was basically, we are great at assembling car, we're great at making engines. If the engines are not in the equation right now, just let's buy the electric motors and powertrain from and battery packs and everything from someone else, and just do what we're good at, which assemble everything and put our brand on it, which has some brand value still. So let's use that. That's a giant risk, in my opinion. So that's why right now I'm betting on Tesla, because Tesla is vertically integrating everything. And for a new technology, I think, especially some technology that's going to have massive supply chain issues, I think it's much more safe to own the entire process and have a deep look into everything other than just let's sign a contract with someone and work with them a little bit with their engineers to develop what we want and then slam that into an existing platform that we have. And that's another thing too. So they don't want to give up their existing vehicle programs. So right. They want to like just insert someone else's platform into an existing program. They
don't want to give like up. A temp fix or a hack, you know, like, all right, well, let's just outsource it to this guy because we don't have to think about this long term. But, you know, to me, it seems like you guys should really be thinking long term and build your own stuff.
Yeah, and that's the key word, long term, because I mean, I'm sure the car could be very good. Like the cars that come out of it, we could lie them and it could be good. But the long term, like building the IP around it, building the expertise for like the next generation thing, because everything is built on the last generation. So what if something happened to Canoo? I mean, it's a startup, it's a small company. I mean, they did raise like over $1 billion, so given that, but still, like, it's risky. It's risky as hell. Same thing with Rivian, do a little bit less risky, in my opinion. It was a better move from Ford because they also invested a lot of money in the company. So it was like, it wasn't as risky, but still. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's move to questions. If you guys have questions, put them in the comment section below. But we already have some, so we're going to look into that.
All right. So we covered this a little bit, and a couple people asked this, but the money that Tesla brought in, through its stock raise is one possible reason could be a gigataxis. Elon doesn't usually joke, although he does joke quite a bit, but when he's joking, there's usually something behind it. Mm-hmm. And he did say thoughts on gigataxis. Mm-hmm. We discussed this actually last week. There's a lot of synergies, like with SpaceX being there, mm-hmm. and you know, Austin being a good place, mm-hmm. to start up shops. So, and they have a lot of chip and software people there, so maybe it does, maybe somehow it is for gigataxis, we don't know.
Yeah, well, the specific question from Stefan is that is the new money that they raised for the gigataxis. We discussed that. I mean, it's either Tesla lied about it and the new money is not for general purposes, but that would be weird. Normally they have to disclose what's the money for, and they said general purposes, not gigafactory Texas.
So Frederick Sterncorb asks, that statement leaves a lot of flexibility. They added 30% to cash for 1.8% dilution.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole point. The stock price was so much higher that the dilution would be lower. But the flexibility of the statement we just discussed, like, yes, there's room for it, but it would be a strange approach not to be just straightforward about it.
So Model Y's stockpiling at Fremont. Owain Llewellyn says that he saw drone footage that they're stockpiling Model Y's. Oh. So
I need to check that out because I'm not aware of that.
Yeah, that would be a pretty interesting story. If you guys are out in the area, get your drones out, do a flyby, send us an image.
Yeah, Fred at electric.co, and I'll take a look for sure.
Mining integration, we talked briefly about like how Tesla's moving up and down the value chain. Mm-hmm. They're getting into mining a little bit. I did see something, I can't remember where, that was kind of interesting about mining.
In the 10Q, you sent me something in the 10Q that came out this week. Right.
Yeah, they had a thing. Let's see if I can find it in our, mine safety disclosures, item 4, one of the things in the 10Q. And I was like, that's weird. Tesla's not mining anything. Like, why do they have mine safety disclosures? So
maybe. Well, they do have a report about mining, like critical minerals that could be conflict minerals.
Right.
And they do inspect the safety of the mining operation for that. So that could be in it, but I don't know. It's fake.
Yeah. Fake. All right. Battery day should be Earth Day, 422. That makes sense. So we have a lot of, like, that would be a Wednesday. 420 is Monday. That whole week's looking pretty good. we'll see. Not a big fan of Tesla. Probably in the wrong chat room then. April 20th is a Monday, but earnings will be that week. So we'll see.
Yeah, that's likely going to be like a Wednesday of that week. So if there's bad news in the earnings, that might be a good thing to compensate with, like,
really
a
quickly, job. Like between earnings and battery day, like buy. You sell before.
Or buy before the battery day and then sell on battery day. Like buy the rumor, sell the news,
right,
and then stay out of the earnings probably.
Well, it depends if earnings is before the battery day. Because if earnings is first, then you want to sell before earnings, then buy on the...
But it looks like the earnings is going to be after. You said it's on Monday. Okay. Adrian said it's on Monday. Normally, the earnings on Wednesday.
All right. Well, don't take our advice. I sold it 550, so what do I know? If they're going to fully integrate, remember, Elon mentioned that it might get into the mining business. Capital raise could be related to mining investment.
Yeah, but again, that's they should say it. That's the problem. They should say it. They're supposed to.
This guy missed the first minutes. We did talk about DC fast charging on salvaged cars. Hopefully, we answered any questions there. You know, there was a story going around about used cars getting unupdated, like losing full self-driving or losing...
We reported on that,
And then
that sounds like a mistake from Tesla. Like they did the blank.
I heard that they later on re-upped it. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's, again, a great example of where Tesla fans push it too much. Because I posted that article and some of them were like, no, Fred, you're FUD. It's fear and doubt or certainty and doubt you're pushing because the Tesla... deactivated the autopilot before he actually sold the dealer sold it to the owner, so it's the dealer's fault and everything. And no, that was I was clear from my article, it was clear from the original Jalopnik article and everything, is that they did the audit before the dealer sold it, but they didn't deactivate autopilot before the owner took the ownership of it. So the owner had the autopilot for a while and then it was deactivated because Tesla took a while between the audit and actually deactivating. So my understanding from this story is that Tesla did an audit of all their cars to make sure that they didn't activate autopilot in some cars that didn't pay for it, which I think the problem stems from them screwing up and activating a bunch of autopilot in cars that they shouldn't have activated. And then to correct their mistake, they went too far and they didn't like match their ledgers correctly with where they uploaded the system and who paid and paid not, especially for cars that change ownership between owners. So they try to match the Tesla account of the owner, see they're buying everything that they bought and match it to their car software. And then if they saw that the owner didn't buy anything because it's a used car and the previous owner bought it on that car, then they deactivate it, which is, of course, a big mistake to do and it's not fair. And like I said in my article, I thought it was a mistake on Tesla. They didn't like on purpose try to sell the software twice on the same car. But who knows?
All right. So two questions. One is charging situation seems to be completely against Tesla's ethos of sustainability. That's what we were talking about earlier. I'm super frustrated by it. Even lightly hail damaged cars can be salvaged, even though they're fine. That's interesting. I didn't know that hail could total... a car.
Oh, I'm sure it could some good hail, like because their entire body is damaged. So aluminum. If you have to remove everything and change all the panels, that's right. Way too expensive. And yeah, he's perfectly right. That wouldn't affect the powertrain at all, though. So there's no reason to not accept supercharging from that.
Any thoughts on total production deliveries in Q1? There seem to be around 4 ships less on the water than Q4. This is from Adrian Farkas. That's I didn't know about the ships on the water thing. It does. I mean, all the kind of anecdotal things we've been hearing from around the world seem like it's going to be a lot less this quarter than.
I doubt Tesla is going to reach 100,000 cars this quarter, even though they were like 100,012 something last quarter. So that would be a big drop. Canada, they could try to put some cars in Canada. I think we still have some good incentive there and everything. So like try to send some cars in Canada.
All right. I don't get why it is so hard for people to understand. You can easy make your 15% with gold stocks. It's not that hard. Okay. There's some good advice there. New capital raise possible for the Gigafactory. So that's another one with that.
Yeah.
Hopeful battery day changes everything. We'll see.
That's probably regarding the supply chain that we discussed. Yeah. No, yeah, but for sure, Tesla is not the one I'm worried about when it comes to battery supply chain.
Right.
And they are definitely the ones that's like laser focused on it. I'm worried about the automakers that are not laser focused on that.
So Tesla is so far ahead in the battery industry. Are Rivian making batteries? No, they're also on the LG chain. So
yeah, they do work on the chemistry and everything, but they don't produce their own. They're going to rely on supply.
Tesla Gigafactory sounds awesome. Should be 420, LOL. So Panasonic is out of the game.
No, Tesla's gonna buy everything they can buy from Panasonic too. Yeah. I'm sure.
And Panasonic has got a couple other things going on. I think Toyota eventually will start buying some of their stuff. And there's other Japanese makers I think that work with them. Perlo Sebastian says, any cars coming out of the U.S. under 30k that go 200 miles in a charge?
Chevy? No. Gold? You can get it for less than 200.
Chevy Bolt, you can get for like 25,000 now. We have a thing if you go under autos at the top of Electrek, there's a list of inexpensive cars in the U.S. Brian Bolt says, if you guys go to the thing in Buffalo, can you get some photos of the factory?
We always try to take photo of everything.
Basically, we're taking photos and videos all the time and until they take our phones.
Yeah, which happened before.
which has happened before. All right, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for listening, everyone. Thanks a lot for watching on YouTube. You can give us a thumbs up or subscribe. It's always appreciated on your podcast app. If you give us a positive review, we always look at those and we appreciate it too. And until next time, see you soon.